All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. And I want to read verse 46 down to the end of the chapter, starting at verse 46. And these are familiar verses. I referenced them just a couple of Sundays ago with the Lord healing Bartimaeus, and went back and read the verses and saw a sermon and thought I'd preach on it this morning. So we begin reading in verse 46. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack in front of you. You may feel free to use it and follow along. But in verse 46 it says, "And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." All right, now let me stop right there and describe for you Jericho. Jericho is one, if not the oldest, one of the oldest cities in the world. Jericho is a thriving city today. It sits right at the base of the mountain. That on top of that mountain is the city of Jerusalem. And when you come off of the mountain from Jerusalem down to the Sea of Galilee, or down to the Dead Sea, the road goes right past Jericho. You can look off to the left and see the city sitting over against the mountain. And it is a paradise. It is absolutely, the weather there is perfect. It's ideal. It's always the same. Very seldom does it rain there. Very seldom is there a cloudy day there. It is just the ideal place to live. It would be like living in Honolulu, Hawaii, without the fear of hurricanes coming through. That's kind of what it is. And this city was where Bartimaeus lived. Now, the Lord Jesus came to Jericho, and he is leaving the city. He is headed out. And he is going to Jerusalem. As he comes through the town, through the city, there is a swarm of people around him. And of course, the disciples are with him. And he is going out of the city, and he will get on that road that I just mentioned, and he will walk up the city to Jerusalem. And then 1 week later, he will be crucified on the cross at Calvary. All right, so get the timing of this in your mind. Realize the timing of when all this happens. So he's in the city, and Bartimaeus is sitting along the highway and along the road that goes out of the city. So it's the road that Jesus is walking on to get up to Jerusalem, and Jesus passes Bartimaeus. All right, now look, please, if you will, at verse 47. So Bartimaeus is begging, and it says, "When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" So they were telling him, "You be quiet. You're not supposed to be heard. You're supposed to only be seen. You're a beggar. You're a blind beggar. Now hush, be quiet." But that only inspired him to cry out more. And so he is making a scene now. And verse 49 says, "And Jesus stood still." Now remember, he's on his way to Jerusalem to the cross. But he stood still because someone had a need. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Immediately he received his sight. All right, I want to speak to you this morning from these verses, and I'm going to entitle my sermon, The Healing of Bartimaeus. The Healing of Bartimaeus. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless. You keep your Bible open, and I'll preach the sermon. Father, thank you for your grace and your love, and thank you for this wonderful story of Bartimaeus and how he received his sight, how he got saved and followed you. And I pray that you will help us to see in our mind's eye this poor man sitting by the side of the road begging, and help us to see the Lord Jesus walking past and him crying out for mercy, and the Lord Jesus stopping on his way to the cross to help this poor man who had a need. Father, help all of us to see the pictures, to see what this man represents and understand why this is in our Bibles. What the Lord did for Bartimaeus on this day, he can certainly do for some Bartimaeus in this room this morning. And so, Father, help us to see the parallels and to see the pictures and to see ourselves in the light of the Scripture. And may your Holy Spirit move and work on someone's heart today. Fill me with your Spirit and help me as I speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning about this character that Mark tells us about, a fellow by the name of Bartimaeus. You'll notice here in verse 46, the very last word in the verse says that he was begging. The man was a beggar. That means that's how he made his living. He did not work a job, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. He did not work a job. There were no government assistance programs in those days, and so he sustained himself by sitting at a busy intersection where people were coming in and out of the city and begging alms from those that passed by. He was a sad fellow, a beggar, a man scorned by the people of Jericho, a man that was looked down on by the folks who entered into the gates of the city. For as they walked by, there would be old Bartimaeus in his dirty rags sitting there with his hand out in the exact same spot every single day begging for someone to help him. Now, what makes him so sad? Well, his name tells us a little bit about him. The name Bar, B-A-R, simply means the son of. You remember that the Lord Jesus said, Simon Bar Jonah, speaking of the Apostle Peter. And Peter, his name was Simon Bar Jonah. Bar means the son of. Simon Peter, was the son of Jonah. And so his daddy's name was Jonah. And this man's name is Bar, the son of Timaeus. And the word Timaeus simply means blind man. He was the son of a blind man. You know what that means? That means that his daddy was also blind. We can imply from that his problem was some genetic problem, something that had been passed along with each succeeding generation that rendered Bartimaeus afflicted with the same problem that his father was afflicted with and that his father battled throughout life. Now, here's what you need to understand. Back in Bible times, if you suffered with a physical infirmity, especially if you were born with some physical infirmity, like blindness or the inability to speak, or if you were born mentally challenged, you were thought of by society as being afflicted and judged by God Almighty. You were looked down upon and people scorned you and thought you less than a person because you evidently had some great sin in your past and you were being judged by the Lord. And so they looked down upon anybody and you could not find a job. You were judged. You could not find employment. You were seen as somebody who had been separated and singled out from the rest of society, and you had the curse of God upon you. And nobody would have compassion or care. Even the disciples, you will remember, one day asked the Lord Jesus when they saw a blind man. They said, "Lord, who hath sinned, this man or his parents, in that he was born blind?" Now, of course, today, and the Lord Jesus told the disciples that kind of thinking was wrong, that it was foolishness. But today, we know that this kind of thinking is foolishness. The fact that Bartimaeus was blind was not his fault at all. It had nothing to do with him. And I submit to you that he was more sinned against by society than he was a sinner. Society blamed him for his blindness, and because they did, he was cast aside by society. Bartimaeus was just a ragged pocket that calamity had turned inside out and had emptied of everything of worth. But on this day, however, the son of Timaeus would have his entire world changed and changed forever because he would meet the one who is the light of the world. He would meet the one who would give eternal light to his darkened world with just the word that proceeded out of his mouth. Immediately his eyes were opened and he joined the chorus of other believers who were following the Lord Jesus. Now let's look at Bartimaeus this morning and let's think about this wonderful miracle that happened in his life. I'm going to tell his story by giving you three main thoughts. The first thought is this: I want us to notice what was wrong with him. What was wrong with him? Well, the Bible very clearly tells us that he was a blind man. If you look at verse 46, blind Bartimaeus. He was blind and tragically had been blind evidently from birth. He was a blind from birth, and we get that by seeing what name he went by. He was Bartimaeus, son of the blind man. And as I said a moment ago, his blindness was probably some genetic malady that he inherited from his father. His father was blind, and so was he. You know, that is always a tragic and heartbreaking matter to have to face. Can you imagine not having your sight? Can you imagine being born blind and never seeing light? I can't imagine that. He never saw the miracle of a sunrise, or he never saw the blazing glory of a sunset. He never looked into the blue of the sky, nor into the face of a little child. He had never seen the beauty of a green field or watched a meteorite flash across the sky at night. Yet I want you to notice here, although the man could not see and had been blind from birth, his hearing is just fine. He could hear well. I've been told by folks in the know on this that when you are blind, your hearing kicks up a notch or two, and you are able to perceive and to discern just by hearing. I've read and had people tell me that none of us listen like we ought to listen. My children accuse me of having selective hearing. They'll say something and then, "What?" and "Dad," and they'll repeat it. And "What? Dad?" But then they'll mumble something and I'll go, "Uh-huh, I heard that." Selective hearing. Bartimaeus' hearing was fine. And when Jesus came near, hope arose in his heart. He couldn't see Jesus, but he could hear the commotion, and he knew that something big was happening. And folks, don't forget, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So not only was he blind, but also I want you to notice that the text reveals to us that Bartimaeus was also poor. He was poor because, being blind, no one would give him work to do. He would not be able to find a job. Begging was all the man knew. So he spent his days sitting at the gates to the city of Jericho, begging from passers-by. Nobody is going to hire a blind man. Nobody is going to hire a man under the wrath and judgment hand of God. I mean, can you imagine this tragic way to have to go through life? Day in and day out, sitting in the same spot, begging alms as people pass by and look down their noses and wag their heads at you in disgust. Shameful. Making barely enough in begging, making barely enough to buy bread for the day. This was Bartimaeus' life. Now, folks, listen very carefully here. The tragedy of this poor blind fellow is what he allowed his blindness and his poverty to do to him. You see, they have combined together to put this man on the sideline. In a nutshell, Bartimaeus is out of the game. He is not a participant in the game of life. Life has dealt him a horrible blow. He is a beggar. He is an idler. He is a parasite living off the work of others. The charity of others is all he depends on to exist. His morale has been destroyed, and the poor man has zero self-respect. For you see, he is not only a beggar, he is content to be one. Are you following me? Man, would you just stop and think about the people who have gotten into sin, and sin has reduced them to nothing, and they are content to be there. There's a way out. And Bartimaeus is about to find out there's a way out because Jesus is passing by. And when Jesus passed by, Bartimaeus got out. But what a picture of man lost in sin do you see in Bartimaeus? You see, the charity of others is that's all he's dependent upon. And since he cannot help himself, he now feels that everyone else should help him. When he hears steps coming his direction, what immediately crosses his mind is, wait a minute, I hear somebody, what can I get out of this person? So not only is he physically blind, but he has become so spiritually blind that he thinks the big business of life is not giving, but getting. And there he sits day after day after day in the exact same condition that he was in the day before. Man, if that doesn't describe sinful man today, I don't know what does. I mean, you would think that somebody would be able to look around at the mess that sin has done to their lives. You'd think that these drunkards and you'd think that these perverts and you'd think that these people that live from drug shot to drug shot could sit around and look and say, man, look at what life has dealt me. There's got to be a better way. There is a better way. And it's called salvation by grace through faith. It's called Jesus taking you by the hand and giving spiritual sight to your old blind eyes and lifting you out of your condition. Second thing I want you to notice. I want you to notice that Bartimaeus one day was changed forever. Forever. On the day that Jesus passed by, Bartimaeus ceased merely existing and he started to actually live. How did this happen? Oh, just imagine what a wonderful day this was. The sun was shining in Jericho, as it always is, and Bartimaeus was in his spot where he always sat, and suddenly Jesus passed by. Now, let me stop right here and make this observation. Let me say to you that the first move in the great transformation of Bartimaeus's life was made by Jesus. That's always the case. He seeks us long before we seek him. It is quite evident that Bartimaeus knew about Jesus before they met on this day. I mean, you can just read the story and see that Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was. Now, how did he know? I don't know. Mark does not tell us. But I can imagine how he might have found out. So using my imagination, let me create a little scenario for you to show you how Bartimaeus might have found out about the Lord Jesus being in town. I can see in my mind's eye a guy that lived out on that road somewhere. I imagine he lived out on that road between Jerusalem and Jericho because he did business in both cities. Sometimes he would go up the mountain to Jerusalem. Sometimes he would come over to Jericho. Don't know for sure, but just using my imagination. And I can imagine that one day this man comes into the city as he was prone to do. And he walks in one morning and there in his spot is the same old soul that he has seen in that spot many times before. And he stops And he looks at Bartimaeus with pity. And he says to him, Bartimaeus, why don't you get well and stop all this begging stuff? I mean, every day I come by here and you make me feel so guilty asking me for money. Bartimaeus, I have my own family. I have bills out my eyeballs. Why don't you get well and stop all this foolishness? And I can imagine Bartimaeus sat there and just got as angry as he had been in years. Get well? You want me to get well? How do you propose I get well? I was born blind, and my daddy before me was born blind. I've always been this way. Why do you mock me like this? And the concerned passerby then told Bartimaeus about Jesus. I can see a smile come over his face as he looks down at Bartimaeus with pity in his heart and says to the man, Bartimaeus, I do not mean to mock you, but I am telling you, you can get well if you just will. If you just will. Well, Bartimaeus perks up at that point. He says, what do you mean, if I just will? And the man says, well, Bartimaeus, have you not heard about the amazing prophet of Nazareth, Jesus, the son of David? Have you not heard that he has come among us here in Jericho? And he proceeds to tell him about the Lord Jesus. He says, oh, Bartimaeus, this Jesus has power beyond anything anybody has ever seen. I mean, Bartimaeus, with just one word, with just one touch, with just one thought, he can heal whatever infirmity a man might have. Why, just a couple of weeks ago, I was up in Jerusalem and I saw lepers come and he healed the lepers. I saw him open deaf ears and I saw him cure people that had been suffering from the palsy for decades. Man, he's got some power in his touch. I've even seen him make the roses of life to bloom upon the frozen cheeks of the dead. Bartimaeus says, what? And he says, that's right. I've seen him raise people from the dead. Well, Bartimaeus is listening now. And the man tells him, Bartimaeus, he's here in Jericho. And I don't know, but he's probably going to be coming out of these very gates in a little while. And there's hope for you. There's hope for you. For you see, Bartimaeus, if he can help these others, he can help you. And the sitting beggar now stands to his feet and says, now what did you say his name was? And the man says, his name is Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. And he is from the house of David. And Bartimaeus repeats it, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of David. And he smiles and says, well, if he comes my way, I will ask him to help. Well, the hours pass. Bartimaeus is sitting there begging just like he does every single day. And all of a sudden there is some noise. And it's coming his way. He hears a commotion. He hears a large number of voices and his ears perk up and he wasn't sure, but he thinks that he heard somebody say, Jesus. Oh, he's listening now. And a man comes by and those quick ears reach over and grab the man by the pant leg and says, sir, what's going on? The man says, hey, you're a beggar. You're not supposed to speak to people. You're just supposed to be seen and not heard. And he says, but tell me, what's happening? And the man says, Jesus is coming by. Oh my, Bartimaeus jumps to his feet. He starts waving his arms and he starts shouting, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Wow. The crowd doesn't like it. Oh my, they reach out and they grab him and they say, "Listen, you got to be quiet. You're a beggar. We're going to see that you're arrested. But wait a minute, Bartimaeus, don't listen to men. Don't listen to what they're telling you. Jesus is going to go by and you're going to miss him." And thank God he didn't listen to the men. Bartimaeus, don't miss it. As Jesus comes by, this is your only chance, sir. He is leaving Jericho. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and he's never coming back to your city. Behold, Bartimaeus, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Let me just stop right here and say, hey, friend, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, don't you let Jesus pass by here this morning without you coming to him. This may be your last shot. You may not get another opportunity. Don't let him pass by. Behold, now is the accepted time. And that leads me to the third thing. I want you to notice the effect that this news had upon Bartimaeus. Did he simply pursue his beggar's trade as if it were just another day? After Jesus came, did he go back to the gate and get his hands out and start baying again? No. Man, after the Lord Jesus came by, this great news sent a shock through him like a lightning bolt. The news just electrified him. His sluggish old heart began to beat within his chest, and it burst him to his feet. And all of those days and nights of begging, they're out the door. Man, he is standing there and he's been practicing now for hours. "Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus." You see, he can't see, but he can hear. And so when he hears, he cries out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Look at your Bible, please. Look at verse 47. Look at verse 47. It says, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David.'" That's the messianic call. He's calling Jesus the Messiah. Jesus of Nazareth, that's son of man. But son of David, that's messianic. He is calling out to the Messiah. He recognized him as the Messiah and calls him the son of David. And those present were shocked that this beggar became so vocal. They said, "Hush, you're out of line. Stop this display right now. That is no way to pray. Shame on you." But Bartimaeus would not be silent. You see, his need was greater than his fear of those who thought they were better than him. He just cried even louder when they tried to silence him. And I'll be honest with you, folks. I wish Bartimaeus were here this morning so I could have him stand up and walk over in front of all of you and shake his hand and say, "Thank you, sir, for not being silent. Thank you for being so persistent." And in verse 39, we read that Jesus stood still. Do you remember the day that Jesus stood still and called for you? Do you remember that day? I remember that day in 1970 when I got saved. Never get over the fact that Jesus stood still one day and called for you. I remember like it was yesterday. And suddenly, those who were just seconds earlier condemning him for speaking out are now saying, "Wow, Bartimaeus, he has stopped and he is calling for you to come to him." And somebody, as the crowd parted, walked over and took Bartimaeus by the hand and lifted him up and walked him in the direction of Jesus. Folks, can you imagine what must have been going on in his heart? You see, nobody had ever wanted him before. Nobody ever wanted him before. Nobody ever called for him to come before. All he had ever gotten from people before was, "Get out of my way, I'm late for work." All he ever got out of anybody before was, "Move, what's wrong with you? You're standing in the way." But now the crowd is moving out of the way. And for some reason, one of the kindest men is leading him by the hand and is taking him to Christ. "He calleth for thee." Probably Andrew. He's always taking somebody to Jesus. And look at verse 50. Oh, I like this. This is so neat. Look at this. Mark adds, "And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus." Why do you think that's in there? Why do you think Mark put that little tidbit in there in verse 50? He cast aside his garment and came to Jesus. I think the Holy Spirit is trying to get us to see that Bartimaeus would not cling to anything that would hinder him from getting to the Lord Jesus. You see, it was not a sin to wear that old threadbare coat, but it was in his way, so he threw it aside. Oh, dear friend, listen, how you need to throw off anything that is keeping you from coming to the Savior today. He was willing to give up everything he had to get to Jesus. And when he did, Jesus was willing to give all that he had to him. And what was the outcome? Well, Bartimaeus was not only healed of his physical blindness, but he was also healed of his spiritual blindness. Jesus gave him a new pair of physical eyes. That's what verse 52 tells us. Verse 52 says, "And Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And the Bible says, "And immediately he received his sight." But not only did he get physical sight, he got spiritual sight as well. You look at the last part, it says, "And followed Jesus in the way." What's that mean? That means he went from Jericho out the road and up to Jerusalem. And he followed Jesus. Pretty cool, huh? Oh, he got what he was looking for. Bartimaeus, now listen to me. Here's the point. When he got saved, he followed Jesus. Now listen, here we go. Back to point one. Bartimaeus is now no longer sitting on the sideline. He's in the game. You with me? When I was in the eighth grade, you'd never know it now, but when I was in the eighth grade, I could run forever. I mean forever. Forever. Just run. And somebody told the junior high coach that I could run the mile. So he could run the mile. Guarantee you he'd win. Coach came to me and said, "I hear you can run." I said, "Who told you that?" He said, "I hear you can run. Won't you come out for track?" So I let him talk me into coming out for track. I could get out there and run forever. I mean, just run forever. And when we were training, the coach would run with us. And somebody said, "Don't ever pass the coach. Don't ever pass the coach." And he'd get out there and run and run and run and run. I'd get right behind him, right on his right arm. And I'd just run along with him. Just run right along with him. But you never passed the coach. Never did it. And we get out there and run and run and run and run and run. No problem. But then I twisted an ankle. I was right before the first meet. And I don't mean I just twisted. I mean that thing was swelled up. Oh, my goodness. Ice, x-rays, the whole nine yards. And it was the hardest thing to go to Laidley Field and have to sit on the sidelines and watch everybody else participate. It just killed me to have to watch. As I sat on the sidelines and realized that the guy that was running the race that I should have been running in couldn't run a lick. Now, really, he just couldn't run a lick. And they actually just stuck him in there because I got hurt and couldn't run. And I just sat there, what could have been? What could have been? What could have been? But you see, if you're on the sideline, you're not in the race. And here was old Bartimaeus. I mean, no longer sitting on the sidelines. He's now in the game. He is now able to do what he could not do when sin had him blinded. Look at the last line in the chapter. It says, and he followed Jesus in the way. In what way? In the way that he was going. You see, that is what Jesus does for us when we get saved. You remember that time Jesus said, the truth will set you free. What's that mean? The truth will set you free. Getting saved will set you free to live for God. You see, when you're out here drunk, when you're out here high, when you're out here in perversion, when you're out here in evil, when you're out here in wickedness, you can't serve the Lord. You don't want to. But then you get saved and God changes your want to's. You know why I'm in church this morning? I want to be here. I want to be here. I know I've said this a lot, but it makes the point. I have had all the liquor I want this morning. I've had all I want. You say, wow, Pastor, that's a terrible thing to say. No, it's a good thing to say. I haven't had any because I don't want any. I've said all the curse words this morning that I want to say. Two. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. None. Have said any. Because you see, the truth will set you free. Free to do what? Free to live your life for the Lord. When you've got that spiritual blindness, you can't do it. They wouldn't let him work. He couldn't work. All he could do was sit and beg. Sin held him down. But when Jesus passed by, everything changed. And back in October of 1970, down in Cross Lanes, West Virginia, I was sitting in a church service right back over here, and Jesus passed by. And man, down that aisle I came, and I got on my knees at the altar, and I got saved. And when you get saved, that changes everything. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Thank God. Jesus passed by. I remember years ago when the kids were little, we went down to Florida and we took the kids in this place called the House of Mirrors or the Hall of Mirrors or something like that. You walk through there and they had this huge room, probably almost as big as this auditorium. And there were just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of mirrors. And when you walk in, you see hundreds of images of yourself. Just hundreds of images of you. Everywhere you look, there you are. That's kind of scary, isn't it? And then we went up into a lighthouse. And he climbed the steps into the lighthouse. And when you get there, there's 360 degree window. And you don't see yourself at all. But what you see when you look through that 360 degree window, no image of yourself, only what's outside in all directions. Now, before Jesus came, Bartimaeus lived in the hall of mirrors where he saw nobody but himself. But through his experience with Jesus, he entered in to the lighthouse where he no longer saw himself, but where he saw Jesus and a needy world. That's what coming to Christ will do for you. Amen. Oh, that you would realize this morning that Jesus is passing by and he calleth for you.